Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world today. My name is Leanne, and I am your chairperson for today's Big Book Workshop and speaker meeting. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation followed by the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, these 12 steps, my spiritual path, and especially with you. Thank you. A reminder that today is a speaker meeting. And it's part of the Big Book Workshop series. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. Welcome to our speaker today, Miss Hannah. Let me find the thing. There we go. Would you welcome Miss Hannah?
Thank you, Miss Leanne. Hi, everyone. My name is Hannah. I am an addict of many, many descriptions. I'm actually very nervous because this workshop absolutely saved, like, didn't just change my life, it saved my life. And just feeling a little bit of pressure because I want to do it justice. So I got the same prompt that Rhonda got. So talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now, which is actually a formula that's in the book. So whenever we carry the message to someone, that's what we're supposed to do. So before, I won't go into the before, like before 12 step. You know, I'm an addict, have been since a young age, practiced many different addictions, but I first came into recovery at, I think I was 23, for drugs and alcohol. I had had enough. I couldn't go on, you know, like I was with the drugs. I couldn't imagine life without the drugs. I knew about 12 step, cause it was in my family. So, you know, I came into a 12 step program and I did what was suggested. I did some version of the steps through this like big, huge, long step working guide that consists of many, many questions, and it takes a really long time to do, and but I did it. And I went to meetings and I didn't do drugs one day at a time. I stayed, you know, if you'd asked me then, I would have considered myself clean and sober. And I, you know, that's what I did. I went to meetings and I did stop using drugs and never used drugs again. However, like when I came in, I was told, you know, this is a spiritual, not a religious program. And I thought, well, that's great. I'm not religious, which means I qualify. And I focused on that part of the sentence, that it's not religious. And I completely missed that, yeah, but it is a spiritual program. In fact, it's not like there's a part of the program that's spiritual. It's the entire thing. But I didn't get that. I didn't want that. I wasn't brought up, you know, with any sort of spiritual tradition. So I was like, you know, whatever. I go to the meetings. I don't have a problem with the word God. I say the Serenity Prayer because it kind of makes sense to me. Of course, I knew there was things I couldn't change. I knew I needed courage. So I was cool with that. But I had like I didn't need spirituality in my life. And, you know, now looking back on it, what I was doing was what I was told, but it was actually more like unsupervised group therapy. I thought that the benefit was of like you go and you talk to people that are like have the same problem as you, and you feel better because you've told everyone all your problems that happened to you during the week, and now you feel better and you go home. And that's what I did, and I even did like I sponsored, I did service, I did all those things. But my life was not getting, but like, yeah, I was better. I wasn't doing drugs anymore, but I was miserable. I was miserable. I had started picking up in other addictions. I was really, really in the food. I was immediately, as soon as possible, I got into a very unhealthy, toxic relationship where, of course, I ended up getting married and having a child and being very, very unhappy. I had financial problems. I was just completely depressed. I couldn't leave the house. You know, I was withdrawing from all my friends. I couldn't, like, when I would take my daughter to school, I would just stare at the floor because I couldn't bear to have anyone look at me, let alone talk to any of the parents or participate in any way. It was just beyond, like, I just did not want to be seen. In fact, my life slowly became just very small. It was just me and my food, and I would, you know, draw the curtains. I would, you know, like go to the drive-through because that's the as much exposure as I could handle. I couldn't really go into anywhere where I would have to have physical contact with other people. So I was 7 years in program. I was sober. I was, you know, I thought I knew what it was about, but I was absolutely at rock bottom. I was like, I didn't want to live in. And COVID had hit, we were in lockdown. I was, you know, I'm a single mom, so I was like locked up with, I think my daughter was 3 at the time. I was very, very unhappy. Like I was miserable to be around. And I was just ready to check out. And, you know, by really just complete coincidence, I stumbled into a meeting where I was turned on to this workshop, and I was desperate enough, you know, to just try, because really I had no alternative. When I actually first logged on to that meeting, it was like I got a similar to what we get here in the waiting room. I got a message saying, this is like a cameras on meeting. It's our group conscience, you know, that you must have your camera turned on, which of course, like I wasn't, no, nobody can see me. I can't even look at myself in the mirror. So I logged off. I'm like, no. And then I sat there and I was like, and then what? Like, if you don't do it now, what other options do you have? It's either go on like this forever, or you have to change something. And when you think to yourself, like, oh, what would I give to get well, what would you give? Would you get out of bed and turn the light on and put the camera on? Like, is that, that's the minimum that you can do. So I got out of bed, I turned the light on, I put the camera on, and I went to the meeting. And I started going to this workshop. And firstly, I was terrified that it wasn't going to work because I thought I knew what this was about. Like, I had done the steps, I was taking other people through the steps, I had read the words of the steps on the wall, like they're at every meeting. I knew what like the words meant, right? And I didn't understand how they could help me because I thought I had, you know, been using them all along. But I was desperate enough because I didn't, like, again, what else am I going to do? So I showed up. That's all I did. I showed up and I followed, like, I did the work. And still, pretty soon, actually, I realized, you know, when we start with the spiritual experience, I was like, oh, maybe that's what was missing from my comprehension of the steps, right? It's like, there is a spiritual dimension. In fact, that has not existed in my recovery. So that gave me a little bit of hope that maybe there was some bit that I didn't know because I thought I was really clever. And of course, you know, I know. So that gave me hope. But then I was terrified that somehow, because I'm not, you know, the previous speaker said, good rule follower. I'm not. You give me instructions, I'll do a little bit and then I'll forget and then I'll, you know, come back and then I'll be behind and whatever. And I was terrified that I wasn't, somehow it wasn't going to work for me because I wouldn't do it well enough or I wouldn't do it consistently enough or I wouldn't understand it perfectly. And that it just somehow wouldn't, you know, wouldn't work for me. And again, I was desperate enough to just continue showing up. All I did literally was just show up and did the best I could. You know, I didn't do it perfectly. I was terrified that, you know, oh, I hadn't been given an idea of God. So it's like, I need to figure this out. You know, this is okay. We got to step two. It's like, okay, God, this is what's been missing in my steps. I am going to figure this out. I'm going to understand this God concept. And then it will work for me. And so I set out on this quest where I researched and I talked to like Buddhists and I talked to Christians and I talked to everyone, anyone that was willing to talk to me. And I was just terrified that I wasn't getting it. It's like, I don't understand how, you know, what is this thing that I'm supposed to be doing? And is it going to work for me? Like, is it going to work if I can't define it perfectly? And then, you know, I actually went to another workshop and I asked, like, what is the deal with doubt? If I have a little bit of doubt, does that like ruin it? Does that mean it's not going to work? And, you know, the person left and they said, no, doubt is normal. Like it's a part of faith. That's why it's faith. You're not supposed to know. You're supposed to have faith. And at the end of the day, when you look back at your life, it's so much better for having lived that way. That if it is all like a hoax, who cares? And that kind of was just like, okay, that I can do. So I still today don't have like a fully defined version of a higher power, but I have a practice that I do that helps me get connected. And then that's enough. And that's the beauty of like, you know, this process, that it doesn't like need to be done perfectly. It doesn't need to be defined perfectly. The willingness to show up and do it.
It's 2 minutes.
Thank you, Darlene. Is like 90% of the magic. The rest, like, and I love, you know, Herb says in his talks, like, my job is to show up and the result is none of my business. Like, the only two things you can do wrong is not show up and leave Earth. What happens in the interim? If I'm there doing the very best I can, which often is like nowhere near perfect, you know, I missed assignments, I didn't do stuff perfectly, it doesn't matter. But I did show up and I stayed to the end. And the transformation was like, I mean, now looking back, I love that dimmer switch analogy, right? From one day to the next is like not that much difference. But from now looking back, you cannot get where I am today from where I started. It just doesn't compute. And, you know, today I can show up for life. I said in the beginning, like, I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't look anyone in the eye. I couldn't participate in life. My life is nowhere near perfect. It's often still, you know, I'm still a single mom. It's all often chaotic. It's often unmanageable. There are absolute ups and downs, but I have the shock absorbers, and I'm able to show up for life, do my best and show up for life regardless. And, you know, the number one thing, I think Herb says it as well, like, if you want to know if recovery is working for you, look at the people around you, like talk to your family, ask them how your relationship is with them. And today my relationship with my daughter is beautiful. Like, I mean, you know, it's hard, but it's beautiful. I am so, so grateful for the relationship I have with her today. Just a few days ago, I asked her, when do you most feel loved by me? And I thought it was going to be like when we cuddle or when I play with her. And she said, no, Mom, it's when I get bullied at school and I come home and you talk to me about it. And that's just, to me, that's like an absolute win, like that I am able to show up for her in a way that she feels supported, that she feels safe, and that she can open up to me in that way. That is all down to recovery, because I was a heart, like I was not nice to be around before I did this work. And you know, all the other relationships in my life as well have changed. Like, I got to watch my mother and my father, who have been divorced for 30 years, make amends to each other, because of, you know, my mom watched me do this work and she saw the changes that happened and she then got inspired to do this work. And I got to like stand a little way away and watch them make amends to each other. My relationship with my dad, who was like, it was the source of, you know, the wound, my father wound, It's completely transformed because I transformed. I let go of the sadness, the pain, and I made amends to him. And that just somehow changed everything so much that he has changed, and he's now the dad that I've always wanted. And it's just bled out into all the relationships in my life. I was able to make amends to my ex-husband and just really feel like I'm sorry for the way I showed up in our relationship. I don't need him to apologize. I don't even need him to get what he did wrong. But I am able to see how I showed up and to make amends for how I showed up in our relationship. And that was just like, I can't even explain how transformative that was. But so yeah, I'm babbling a little bit, but I'm just like, yeah. So that the one message that I would like. But like if there's one thing that you get from what I've said here is like just stick around and just do your best. The miracle happens, and if it feels frustrating and you're scared it's not going to work, just show up. That's the only thing that's important. Am I out of time? What am I doing, darling?
You have like 45 seconds. You're doing wonderful.
45 seconds. Okay. So yeah. The main thing is that whatever happens today, like it's as I said, it's chaotic, it's unmanageable. It's 100 different things, but I have a little bit of space between what's happening and that state of mind where I'm able to observe what's happening, and then sometimes in that little bit of space, I get the grace to do things differently than I had done previously. And then the results are different and they're just unimaginably better from where they were. And when I look at pictures of myself previously, I used to have so much shame for how I looked and who I was that I buried them in my computer so nobody would ever see them. I see you, darling. I'll wrap up now.
Okay.
I was like, I couldn't imagine ever anyone seeing those photos. I am now able to show them to people when I do 12-step polls with them without any shame because I just don't relate to that person anymore. My heart breaks for her, not for how she looked, but for how she lived. But I don't feel any shame because it feels like that is a different person now. So I hope I've said something helpful. Thank you for allowing me to be of service. And it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you on this journey. Thanks.